And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, August 9th, 2014. This is Season 8, Episode 32. I'm Scott.
I'm Dennis.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Nathan.
And welcome to the show, everyone. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. You can check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat as well as on Facebook. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We're streaming the cam feed right now through twitch.tv. You can head over to... head over to twitch.tv, search for In-Game Chat, and then you'll be able to find us. You can join, you can watch the show from there and listen to it as well, so far. And then you can join in the chat room and have discussions with everybody who is hanging out in the chat room. And I want to welcome everyone who is in the chat room and chatting with us, everybody who is listening to us live. We thank you once again for being here. Our phone number once again is 334-272-9228. And everybody here is in the studio, with the exception, of course, of James and Matt. Matt won't be back until, I believe, sometime in December, unless things change. And he gets to come home early alive, would be good. And he might come home early. And then James will be back with us, I don't believe next weekend, but the weekend after next. James should be back, unless, of course, things change there and he is held over later. So, but we're hoping he's going to be back soon. But we thank everybody for joining us live. We've got a long show for you, a big show for you. We've got 2 hours of gaming talk. We've also got all four of our wired 360 controllers that we can plug into the box after the show and do some speedrunning fun, do some four-player co-op forced, and whatever else we can do with four players. But everybody's going to be hanging around. We're going to do some streaming after the show. You can only see that by heading over to our Twitch account and watching watching that show, and enjoy that. We've also got an interview coming up, not at 8 o'clock, but at 7 o'clock. We have an interview that we did on Thursday with Neil Druckmann and Jason Gregory from Naughty Dog to talk about, to us about The Last of Us Remastered, and that interview is coming up, like I said, at the second hour of the show. First part of the second hour, you'll hear that interview. So stick around for that. I'll go ahead and tell you now that due to Twitch's changes, this episode, I don't know how heavily it's going to get muted. But
what? The live stream will be fine.
Live stream's fine.
It's the it's the video that's stored on Twitch.
Right. The YouTube video will be fine as well, by the way. When we upload it to YouTube, we'll be fine. We do not upload to YouTube from Twitch. We record the shows on the hard drive as they're happening, so that we have that to throw up on YouTube whenever we're finished. In fact, that's why we stay here and do the streaming afterwards, is because I use the computer to render the video and then upload it, because the speeds here are so fast. So
it's gonna be like welcome to, and then just the whole thing muted after that.
I don't even know. I mean, if it hits that 30, see if it recognizes our opening song.
Yeah.
If that is somehow licensed, then that first 30 minutes is done.
So, well, let's go into exactly what's going on.
Right. Well, I want to bring this up because it pertains to the interview. I asked Neil what he would like for the opening of the music to open the show and the music to close. And he told me to pick my favorite Last of Us track, and I did. And then he requested that I play the song that was used during the live show epilogue that nobody got to see. Mm. And so that's the song I used. That is a licensed artist song. That is a very popular artist song. It's Pearl Jam, for God's sakes. That's likely going to get picked up and muted again. Here's why. Twitch, they did a double whammy, man, and the same day I got these emails.
Yeah, same day and unannounced is really what's kind of got stuck in a lot of people's
Yeah, like earlier this week, I want to say it was, what, Monday? They killed Justin?
They killed Justin TV, but I think everybody kind of knew that was on the way out. But it was kind of like...
Except for the people who still use Justin TV.
But I mean, it's...
Because they didn't do a warning on that. They just killed it.
That was a... Yep, we're done. This is shuttered. Goodbye. And then after that, was it the Save Forever feature that went away first, or was it the audio muting that started popping up?
It was the Save Forever feature. Yeah. They softened the blow first, or they didn't soften anything about it. They got the email about the video on demand stuff, which is basically all the videos that we archive. What was going to happen was that, hey, from now on, there's going to be, for the sake of everything, we'll just use the 14-day standard.
Yeah.
For non-subscribers and that sort of thing. All the videos that you do, that you broadcast live and everything else, once they're done, they get archived. They will stay archived for 14 days, and then they will be removed, unless you go in and make highlights or export them or send them to YouTube.
And you just had to toggle a switch on your account, say, hey, save my videos forever.
And they still deleted them, by the way.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah. They didn't stay long. In fact, I never knew when they would delete them. I just knew I had about a week to get it done if there were any videos on there.
That option's gone now. It is 14 days for any non-subscribers.
It's a hard date, 14 days. They'll be there, and you've got 14 days to archive them, make highlights, that sort of stuff. Highlights will stay indefinitely.
Yes.
So long as they were under 2 hours.
Well, that was when it was originally announced, and I believe
They've gone back on that.
They've now said
we'll make it whatever length it needs to be. There's people who do speedrunners. There's speedrun stuff.
Speedrunners, endurance matches, that kind of thing.
And you would think speedrunners, it's like, well, can't they get it done under 2 hours? And for most games, probably. But there are some games that are going to take you beyond a two-hour mark to do a full speedrun.
Any JRPG, for example.
So you do have that to run into. You have the tournament-long stuff. That can be killed and that sort of thing. There was a lot of problems with that initial arbitrary number, and it's listening to his Reddit AMA that he did afterwards. It's like, yeah, we didn't really think this through, is what it seems to come off as. Didn't come out right.
Yeah, you didn't think it through, or they had to get this pushed out the door right away. Which
there's a lot of speculation.
And who knows on that? Twitch isn't saying anything about that, and if that is going on, they probably won't say anything.
I mean, you'll notice I got rid of our opening music as quickly as I could. I let it play, and then we did our thing, but I dropped that down as fast as I could. It's not going to matter.
No, they whatever they're using will recognize. I mean, it recognizes crowd noise from tournaments as music. So
right.
Chances are probably these very words right here will be like, that's a song.
I heard lyrics. That's a song. Get it off. The video on demand thing that was theirs, they did put a 2 hour time limit on it, but they revoked that. That is now indefinite. Just so long as you make a highlight, it's going to be there forever. So that was the first one. At first, I was not too indifferent. I thought, well, let me go back. I looked. We don't have very many 2 hour long. Yeah. Each of these shows comes in at just under 2 hours, about an hour and 56 or so. Each of our live shows that get saved. My pinball stuff is a completely different story because a lot of times I do go over 2 hours. The stuff that we play after the show never exceeds 2 hours, never exceeds an hour for the most part. We sit down, play about 30, 45 minutes of something and move on to something else.
And in the defense, this may be something to do with their server infrastructure. Maybe they are limited on their hardware. Maybe they we need to clear up some space. Here's a way. Really don't know for sure, though. But it's the next bit that really kind of set the internet
Well,
on
and
fire.
Before we get to that, the reason they came to this was that apparently they did some study where, and I need to go back and look at it really, honestly, but the content after 14 days just does not get watched. They did a survey or something like that to see how many people go back and actually watch these things, and there was a very high percentage of people that just do not go beyond a certain number of days to go back and watch archived videos. That's why they picked kind of the arbitrary number of, we'll save it for 2 weeks, and then we're taking it off, because nobody goes back and watches these things. And to make the highlight, I don't know why they did the two-hour thing and then remove it as though, oops, we just picked the wrong, that was our fault. Because obviously if it was for saving space, then...
I think I think overall it was probably after the internet firestorm hit the Twitch offices, it was probably like, let's try to get some kind of balm out there, and maybe that's the one thing they could give have some leeway on, essentially.
Yeah, Callie sense that, in fairness, a two-hour highlight isn't really a highlight. You're exactly right. Two-hour highlight is not a highlight. It's how I keep our shows up here, because I don't go through and save each segment in between the commercial breaks. I just save it as one chunk so people can watch it all the way through. If we had a staff that could go back and do this stuff, sure. Yeah, go ahead. Take it over. Do that. Going back and making these highlights of like my pinball plays when it's 2 hours and 45 minutes worth of pinball playing, I don't remember what my highlight was, honestly, after 2 hours and 45 minutes. Once I'm done playing for almost 3 hours of pinball, I don't want to go back and watch a video of me playing pinball. I'm done. I want to get those headphones off and get away from the computer and stretch and get away for a while. And then when I come back to maybe edit the video, I don't know where it was that I did a good score. I'm just like, let me put it up there. And, you know, it's just for people to look around and look at it and get an idea of a table and that sort of thing to watch it. I don't really expect anybody to go back and watch a full 3 hour playthrough of Thor on pinball.
There might be some pinball enthusiasts getting into that.
Well, I've talked to a few. I've talked to a few who would. In fact, somebody just recently sent me a message on Steam saying, hey, I haven't seen any more pinball videos on YouTube. When are they coming back? And I'm just really far behind on doing that. They're all saved. Mm-hmm. But that's what I've actually been doing today, was doing some rendering of those videos and getting those ready to go back up. So I would say next weekend you will see a swarm of videos hit our YouTube channel of stuff that we've been playing recently or that I've been playing. So, but yeah, you're right. It isn't really a highlight, but I just don't have, personally for me, I just don't have the time to go through there and make a highlight of any of that stuff. I really don't. Yeah. So I just put it up there and let somebody else go back and do it. So anyway, that was the first thing. And then the second thing came way late in the afternoon for us. Anyway, it was like 5 something in the afternoon when I got this email, which would have put it 3 o'clock in the afternoon for Pacific folks. And that was the audio.
Yes, Twitch has started muting audio on videos using a very something similar to what YouTube uses with their content ID system. Basically, goes through the video, detects copyrighted music, and will mute that video. I believe in 30-minute chunks is what I've read, based on how they have it set up.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's not surprising something like this happened. To me, at least. Because you look at everybody who went up in arms about, you know, YouTube having their copyrighted things on there. The fact that they're, for weeks now, we've had rumors of a Google buyout of Twitch.
That's still rumored, apparently. Because I've read a lot of speculation on Twitch's actions right now.
Yeah, and in the AMA, they even mentioned, hey, we can't say anything about buyouts. So it's something out there, but it's not anything actually confirmed. Or even denied. It's just one of those things that's just flowing around the internet. It's like, hey, Google's got interest. But even that interest alone, maybe that's part of why they're doing this. Maybe the Eye of Sauron finally noticed them about this, and now they have to clean up their act, essentially, legally.
There was a ton of speculation as to why, but they've like Dennis was saying, that they've got a company called Audible Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's apparently, I guess, an algorithm or something. It's just something that runs through
the
videos.
Yeah, it just comes through it, looking, I assume, for patterns and such of copyrighted music. They have the music on file, from what I understand, because one of the complaints comes from the guys who did Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Mm-hmm.
Their composers, all their dev streams have been flagged by Twitch and everything like that. And the composer said, I'm not a part of the system. This is all my music. Why is any of our stuff being flagged?
It's a lot like what... See, I run into this with YouTube as well. We don't monetize our YouTube channel. We don't monetize our Twitch channel, which is something that I kind of wish that Twitch would enact, would be a system that kind of like what YouTube does. When YouTube flags something and says, you've got copyrighted material in your video, I just accept it and say, go ahead, put it out there. I'm not monetizing this. And they're like, okay, we'll put it out there as is. You're not making money off this, so here.
Yeah.
If they gave me that option with Twitch, I'd do the same thing. Just click it and say, yeah, I accept it. Here, go ahead.
Yeah, and that wasn't
it wouldn't mute the content. Yeah. You know?
They have since then added a appeal option for
which, from what
videos.
Phil Kohler said, just opens up an Outlook.
Really?
Yeah, email. Yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I had no idea. I figured you would know a bit more about
Phil,
that. No,
Phil, he sent a tweet out, and I don't know if that's changed since, but this was after that audit, the appeal button was added. He sent a tweet out and said, that appeal button, all it does is open up Outlook for you to send an email. That's it. And I don't know if that has changed since, but I really can't appeal anything because none of this I've seek the rights to play.
Yeah, I mean, we play copyright music all the time. We haven't sought permission for, but
we're in a radio station.
Yeah,
this radio station pays a monthly fee to not only ASCAP but BMI.
Mm-hmm.
I say monthly; it could be a yearly fee. I'm not exactly sure, but this station pays a gigantic fee to those two companies in order for us to play music on these stations.
But does that cover like all music in general, just the ones under those particular
right? You know
licenses.
those Mega Mans that we play.
Yeah,
that's not licensed by the
that's
by BMI or
about.
ASCAP or anything like that. So there's some that can get by and there's some that won't. Going back and seeing like our video of Speedrunners and our video of Battle Block Theater, none of those got muted. In fact, none of the shows so far that I've looked at, and I've only looked at two, got muted. I'm certain this one will. The only ones, none of my pinballs got muted, with the exception of the Star Wars tables, because those use licensed John Williams tracks.
Okay,
those got sense. Muted yeah. in parts, which was odd to see that parts of it were muted and parts of it weren't.
Do you remember if it was in the 30-minute chunks like they were saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Specifically, if you go back and look at the Han Solo table, that was the one I looked, and I was like, yep, there's Star Wars. It's going to get tagged. My Star Wars videos that I put up on YouTube, they always get tagged. Because it's stuff, because it's popular license type sort of music. The stuff that I found odd through YouTube's way of doing things that I am skeptical that will likely happen on Twitch's end of things with who they're using. It's who they're using.
Mm-hmm.
I know Matthew says it's not Twitch's fault, it's not Google's fault, that sort of thing. No, nah, man, it's the companies that they're using to do these algorithms and these scans.
Yeah, well,
they're not the best in the world at doing this because, like you said,
yeah, it's searching for patterns. I mean, it's,
they heard audience chanting
yeah,
of a thing.
The international got yeah. muted because of what they said was crowd noise sounding similar to a song.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not perfect. Google couldn't hire the staff to go through each video manually to look for copyrighted material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has to be some kind of automatic scan.
The other thing is that, like you said, with Dance of the Necromancer.
Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Yes. I had that really all bad, didn't I? As far as I know, and I haven't tried this, but from some of the claims that I get on YouTube, which, again, I when we first started getting them, I looked into them. Now I don't. I just accept it and say, here, put it up there. I'm not making any money off this. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Came from really, like, I've never heard of this company before.
Well, back when Content ID happened, I read up on some things, and a lot of the video game music that's getting flagged is essentially the rights are, like, sold to various groups, not of the level of RAAA, but along those lines. I'm not sure what exactly the deals are, but those are the rights holders, and because I remember I think it was Volition with Saints Row were saying, we don't care, stream our game, we'd love the publicity.
Mm-hmm.
But like some of their music, they do have some licensed radio songs, but even like some of the ambient music that isn't a copyrighted song, the rights are like held by some audio company elsewhere. Mm-hmm.
I was looking up again, going back to some of our earlier videos, I was looking these up, and there were even sound effects.
Yeah.
That were registered, you know?
Sound effects, there have been just polygons, patterns on polygons that are...
Trademarked.
Trademarked, copyrighted.
Yeah.
Whatever the official This Is Mine stamp is.
Yeah, but I was wondering how easy is it for you to contact one of these companies and say, hey, that's my stuff, or put in a claim that, hey, anytime you hear such and such, such and such, it's mine. What kind of proof do you have to show? What kind of how thorough are they at checking claims of copyright? They're very thorough, obviously, in finding copyrighted material.
Well, yeah, because
it's just a
copyright material there opens up the path for litigation.
Right.
Going through and finding it won't result in litigation.
The benefit of the doubt falls on the copyright holder, or at least the person claiming they're a copyright holder.
Mm-hmm. And given how legal cases have gone past, particularly things with the RAA and such, the law tends to side with the copyright holder, regardless of any case brought up for its use.
Exactly. And so
You're just going to have an uphill battle.
You are.
To get through this.
And it's not going anywhere. It's really not. It's not going to go away. They may implement better ways of it being done. They may, in fact, I remember, again, going back to the guy's AMA on Reddit, he said something that, hey, we're not supposed to take out in-game music.
Hmm.
It shouldn't detect that. We need to go back and fix that. In other words, somebody playing...
because a lot of streamers do essentially run a playlist when they aren't actively streaming,
mm-hmm.
just like background noise, essentially. So I would hope that a lot of this was against that. If copyrighted songs, like the kind of things that the RIAA cares about, for example, actual licensed music being played over their streams, maybe that was targeted, and maybe it's just kind of gotten out of hand.
Yeah. Callie Sin says exactly what I was trying to say, is that the Google and Twitch, those companies that are scanning for this stuff, they don't check the claims. They just flag the content. And then it's up to the person who gets flagged to prove their... Yeah, the burden of proof is on the player or the...
It's because Google and Twitch want to take the least number of steps to prevent getting sued.
Yeah, and I was reading some interesting stuff about how there's a possibility that this has nothing to do with Google, or this has everything to do with the Google situation, but on the opposite end of them not being bought.
I imagine if it had to do with Google, we'd see more of what Google uses. They would have gone with the content ID system or some derivative thereof rather than a completely separate company.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either.
There's a lot of unknowns. There's
what I had read was that it never mattered on YouTube about copyright stuff for the most part until Google bought them.
Mm-hmm.
And Google didn't run into this, but Google didn't run in there and say, okay, we got to flag these things. It happened, and this is the theory in the article that I read, was that the more money you've got, the bigger target on your head for lawsuits. They're like, oh gosh, once Google gets involved, then we can get a lot of money from them by suing them.
When there's a certainty of getting paid for your lawsuit, that's when, the big bright target appears over your head.
Yeah. As soon as Google bought YouTube became a target for that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they did what they did. And Twitch getting as big as it was and then getting the rumor coming in that Google's about to buy them was another situation where it became, we got to make sure all the exits are sealed. We got to be careful about everything because now we're going to become a target for lawsuits. And it became a situation where, how come it's where a company can say, how come you're going after us but not going after them? And then, of course, they get flagged for that, the bigger you get for that. And then there's that alternative of Hitbox.
What happens when Hitbox gets big enough?
See, there's that, too. I mean, you'll run into that, and then some other startup place will have something in place after that, and were it to go that way, that's how the cycle would go, I imagine. With it,
because
just keep
when Hitbox comes big enough, they're like, we don't want to lose money over a lawsuit.
I don't see any reason why it's not going to happen over there as well. We do have a Hitbox account, by the way, and I want to make it clear that we never got this because of what had happened.
No, we it was kind of when we got not long after.
I talked
with
James. He set the thing up. We got it back in late February or early March.
Yeah, because it was we were looking at alternatives not long after, because we were on Ustream originally.
No, this was no. We were on Twitch. This?
Okay, we were on Twitch at the time.
We were on Twitch at the time we got this. The reason we got this was because of that delay, that 60-second delay in the chat room. And in from what you guys hear, who are watching us on Twitch right now, there's 60 seconds in between the time that I say something and the time that you hear it. And we were trying to find alternatives to that, and Hitbox provided that. We never went further with it. Although after the events of this past week, we took a look at it and was, you know, mulling things over as far as what we might do there. So we do have a Hitbox account. Again, it's just go to Hitbox. I think it's hitbox.tv maybe, and then just look for in-game chat. There's no videos up there. There's really nothing up there right now. Yeah, we haven't done anything. I'm tempted to do Silverball Sundays tomorrow from Hitbox just to give it a test and see how it looks.
Just experiment, see how it goes.
Which means, by the way, that everybody who's listening right now, I'd love for you guys to join in so we can test this thing and see how it works with chat and everything else. I'd love to see how this goes tomorrow when I stream this. Fortunately, I don't have a time of when I'm going to stream Silverball Sundays. I never know. But it's usually around middle of the day, noon, 1 o'clock Central Time, by the way. So.
And it is hitbox.tv.
So. Yeah, hitbox.tv, in-game chat. We'll link it to our Twitter so that it'll tweet whenever we go live so that people can see that and join us and test this out to see how it goes. So anyway, if you got some thoughts on that, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-272-9228. Our number again is 334-272-9228. We'll come back with more of in-game chat in just a moment. Here is music from DuckTales. I don't know if this is the revamp or the old one, but of course it is the moon theme. We'll be right back. And welcome back to in-game chat. Music from GoldenEye, which is also probably licensed and will get muted. I don't know. I'm probably going to be saying that after every time we come back from that. Which it won't matter because if it's that's the other thing. I know we wanted to get done with this, but whatever YouTube uses to mute the track, if you decide to do that, if you say yeah, it's copyrighted or that they want to. They give you an alternative. Like if you're a paid channel but you don't have the rights to that song, they're like, hey, we can throw here, pick one of these unlicensed tracks to throw in there, or just leave that part muted. They just keep that part muted, I assume. I haven't jumped into that to find out what they do really. But the way Twitch works is that they find it and then they block out a 30-minute block.
Yeah.
30-minute block.
Just in case,
that's
I guess.
That's a long song.
They probably did a study of what was the longest song
well,
in the world.
Well, honestly, the way it works is the way that Twitch like saves.
Yeah, it saves in 30-minute increments.
It saves in 30-minute increments, so that's why it does. It just decides to mute the increment rather than, or to mute that block rather than just try and figure out. So,
I mean, hopefully they'll get back on top of their game, so to speak.
Yeah.
We'll get some more explanations of what's going on. I mean, you know, Content ID didn't kill YouTube. You know, as noted by YouTube still existing, I don't think this is going to kill Twitch.
No, I don't think it is. It was going to hurt, though, a lot of, like we said, speedrunners.
Yeah.
There's like a huge list of people who are ready to move away from that. That mainly stemmed from the two-hour thing that had been lifted now, and that's not a part of it. But
and that may be the reason why it's.
There's still some other people who aren't satisfied by it muting that 30-minute chunk of audio. Because a lot of speedrunners use the in-game music that's just there.
Yeah.
And it gets flagged, so. Excuse me. Good luck playing a game like GTA or something that actually uses licensed songs on their radio. Let's move on from that, though. By the way, if you want to get in your opinion, you can. Give us a call. You'll talk to Nathan first and have a nice conversation with Nate and his golden voice. And he'll talk to you. It's 334-272-9228. That is 334-272-9228. We got about 17 minutes or so here before we hit the top of the hour and have our interview with Neil Druckmann and Jason Gregory from Naughty Dog about The Last of Us Remastered. Just a little idea of what we talk about. Last of Us Remastered. There is a tiny little bit of Uncharted 4. Just a tiny little bit of that.
Is it more than what we got at E3?
No.
Ah.
It's not. Here's another weird thing I found out in trying to get, not them on, but in the past, when I've tried to get some people on from other big companies, say, hey, come on, be on the show with us, and can you talk about that? And they'll say, no, I can't talk about it. And in some frank conversations, I've asked, you know, why can't you talk about it? Why is it so tight-lipped on things like this? And they said, well, because the company has, the company that they work for has deals in place with publications
mm-hmm.
who get the exclusives. This is not to do with reviews. This has nothing to do with reviews, even though that does go on. This has to do with reveals, you know? So the company essentially gets placed under an NDA. Don't talk about this until...
Well, of their own volunteering.
Yeah, some company does the reveal, because apparently they're in some deal with, like, maybe Game Informer.
Game Informer comes to mind.
Or IGN or anything like that that gets the first... that gets to reveal stuff first and gets that exclusive. So that's how it works. I wish it worked more like just regular news, where it's like, if you get the information, and, you know, we'll give it to the first person that we can give it to, this sort of situation. So... But yeah, so anyway, that's coming up at 8 o'clock, the interview with Neil Druckmann.
7 o'clock.
I'm sorry, it's 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock Central, 8 Eastern.
I don't know why I do that. Yeah, it's coming up in about 20 minutes, 15 now. Let's go over what we did this past week leading into that. And we'll get to Nathan last, because his will go right into the interview, since he finished up Last of Us for the first time in his life.
In ever.
In ever. I'll go a short list for me. I finished up Bastion.
Oh, good. How did you enjoy that?
It was all right. I liked the end.
Yeah.
I liked that end.
Which one did you pick?
There's two choices.
Yeah, there's two choices. There's the one when you're actually in the combat station, and there's back at the Bastion.
Yeah. In the combat situation, I carried him with me.
Okay.
Back at the Bastion, I decided to not restore.
Ah, interesting.
I decided to say, go away, let's go.
Because my first one was the same, but I did the restoration on for the second choice, which makes the game a bit more interesting.
Yeah.
To me, at least. Because of how that works.
I'll have to go back and check that out. I never did, actually. So I played that. I finished up. Well, I say I finished up. I started and finished the DLC for Last of Us, Left Behind.
Left Behind with Ellie and...
And we'll talk... with Ellie and... What was her name?
Riley,
I think is her name, yeah. We'll talk about that when we get to Nathan's part there, because it probably goes hand in hand with how he played it. Because I do have to say of how great that looked in 60 frames per second at 1080p. So I played that, and then I started on... To the Moon.
Okay, yeah. That one's been mentioned a lot to me lately.
It has, and that's why I had it, and I was like, let's fire it up. And I'm not very far into it.
Yeah, I need to look into that, because I've heard from enough people, it's like, no, this is really good. So
So I'm not very far into it. I do like, I like the aesthetic, I like the style that it has. Mm-hmm. I'm growing to enjoy the story. It's giving me a very sad sense, but I am enjoying it. And that's all I've done, really. That's it. It's been a lackluster week of gaming for me. As far as amount, I've actually done some pretty good stuff. Left Behind, Bastion, and now To the Moon. really great things, but, you know, only three things in total here. So, Dennis, on to you. What have you been?
Not a lot. I did start up a new game. I did start, well, not a new game, but like one I haven't played for, which is Dead Space 3. I loaded up on PSN. Not at all surprising to me. I did not run into any problems with the evil monetization, download your resource thing that everybody seemed to gripe about when it came out. Mm. It's Dead Space. It was exactly what I expected from Dead Space. I wish I had gotten a chance to try out the co-op, but it was fine without it. Pretty much my only complaint was probably the shift to the universal ammo system, where you essentially had two weapons on one device. Mm-hmm. And when one ran out of ammo, it would just reload the entire clip without having to use the other shots. So I sometimes lost some ammo. Once you got used to that, it was fine. And it played exactly how I played Dead Space 1 and 2. I could make do with the drops that are coming as the enemies got more difficult. I actually had to use the what is now a crafting system instead of a buying and selling system.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was fine. It was great. You didn't have to touch the monetization at all. It's exactly sort of thing I would expect from Dead Space.
Mm-hmm. Any special weapons you made playing through it?
Nothing in particular, just what I found most useful. I had my plasma cutter because everybody uses a plasma cutter. Plasma cutter and a ripper, but instead of having the ripper float out in front like it usually does, I had it launch out. So basically a physical cutter instead of a plasma cutter, because mm-hmm. I'm very boring with my options. And for my heavy weapon, I had the bullpup rifle and a rocket launcher attached to it, which the bullpup I used for any human enemies that were around, and the rocket launcher is if I just got surrounded and I would just drop a rock at my feet, because I had the safety guard attachment, which prevents the explosion from hurting you.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, pretty good game. Yeah, definitely wanting to pick up. I got it on PS Plus a while back. I think Origin ran a deal, so a lot of people who have those probably have it sitting in their queue.
Yeah, I want to say it was free.
Yeah, I think
PS
so.
Plus was free.
PS Plus was free. I think Origin did do it as
no,
part
Origin
of their...
No, Origin did a free one, too.
Oh,
yeah, I think when they first started their Game of the Month thing, I think that was one of the first
That was
ones.
One of the... That was the first one, I believe. And then the next one was Plants vs. Zombies.
Peggle, I think, was the
Peggle was
well.
Another one. Right now, it's Wing Commander 3.
Yeah, of all things.
With Mark Hamill. And I downloaded that last night. Did not play it. I just downloaded it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's free. I'll put it down. So, I'll grab this free stuff.
I've got to credit me. I need to, I got the email for this a couple days ago. GOG is doing betas for the Witcher Adventure game and their Galaxy thing. I got one of the, an invite for it. I haven't started it up yet, but that's going to be my plan for this
Everybody
weekend.
Everybody gets into betas, man, except me.
Here's the nice thing. I have a second code.
Hey!
So I'll send that off to you and let you
Or should we give it
one.
Away?
Nah, if you don't have one, I'll give it to you.
Yeah, but I got some press contacts that I can get in touch with. Maybe I can make that happen.
Too bad I'm sending it to you.
So okay, well then maybe I'll give it away. I mean,
okay.
unless it's linked to me, I will see.
Yeah,
what we can
I'm
do.
Not. I'm not sure. I know the second code is free away. I think the first one might be linked to my GOG account.
Yeah, we'll
I'm
see what we can
sure.
do on that. I mean, I do like when we have the ability to. I'd love to give stuff away.
Yeah.
To the people who are listening live here and.
Well, I don't know how long the beta is going on right now. So
holy cow, Jimmy! I'm sorry. I'm reading Jimmy the Saint said, oh, wow, Wing Commander 3. I had played the crap out of that game back in the day. I had it on the 3DO. I have never known anybody to have a 3DO. Wow, Jimmy. You must be rich.
Only time I ever saw one was back when Jeremy was
running
the shop.
They were really expensive, though, weren't they?
It was the Neo Geos that were really expensive. I think 3DO wasn't far behind that, though.
Yeah, well, but I mean, for the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, by Neo Geo being expensive, I mean it was like $300.
1992, 1993?
Yeah.
1993 it launched, and its price was $699.99.
Oh, okay, it's a lot more than
I told you. I thought it was huge. I thought it was very big as far as the price for that. Wow.
Those are the big silvery discs, right? Laser discs or something?
No, Scott's not giving away 3DO. Scott does not have a 3DO. He's not giving away a 3DO.
I don't know. All I know about the system is some mystical thing I would never have.
Yeah, really.
Jimmy says $350. Got
okay,
his job.
For the 3DO.
Got a job
just to buy it.
Wow. All right, so that wraps up your gaming experience there.
You can get it used on Amazon for $110.
I wonder if Retro Game Planet has any.
That's
the
possible.
3DOs. That's interesting. I'll have to talk to Rust and see if he's got any down there. I've kind of, after reading, of course, Console Wars, our guest who was on the show last week, I've been interested in kind of starting up a collection of all those older systems. But going on to RJ, what have you been, other than reading Console Wars, I suppose?
Yeah, trying to get through that. But I've been playing, still trying to get to the DLC for Dark Souls 2. Played that a little bit. Ultra Street Fighter 4, the disc console, consumer disc version came out, so I picked one up for like tournaments or whatnot. Anybody needs a spare disc or anything like that, so I've been playing a little bit of that. For the heck of it, loaded up Dig Dug on the 360. Hey, I like classics. Go figure.
It's fine.
But played that a little bit, and I really wish I'd caught the free sale on Battle Block Theater. After playing it here, I went home and looked up some stuff about it, and then I realized that it's found that July 17th, it was free for on Gamers for Gold. Games for Gold, and I missed it. And I'm like looking at the price; it was like $15. So I'm trying to find as much info as I can on it to see.
Yeah,
if it's really,
I'm always paying attention really to my news feeds. Like, oh, Games of Gold updated. Let me go grab those. And I don't think I've played a one of them.
Do the same thing, Games with Gold, and then the PS Plus stuff. I'll always go grab them. So
yeah, it was, came out a year ago, like in April. May of 2013. It came out a while ago, but see if there's enough people still playing it to merit still $15 price tag for it on Xbox Live Arcade.
So that's
pretty much all I've been
all
playing.
I've been playing. And reading. Where are you at Console Wars right now?
They're still going at describing the how Nintendo got together and how they went from like the trucking company, and then getting the distribution and moving from New York to Seattle and doing all types of things of that nature.
Yeah. Dennis, did you ever start that?
I haven't started it yet. Okay. I got hung up in Dead Space 3, and that was kind of what I was pretty much playing all week.
Yeah.
I have it sitting next to my chair, ready to read. Just didn't pick it up at all.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I understand. I was just curious if you had, how far you'd gotten into it and where you might be on that. So it was really, it felt really weird after, I had something to read for like 2 weeks in a row every night before bed. And then it was like, oh God, I got nothing.
Got to fill the void.
Well, I went back and grabbed some comic books.
I bought a couple months ago the original Jurassic Park book. That's really good.
Oh, Michael Crichton, yeah.
Yes.
I have that in hardback, I believe.
That's what I have.
Yeah. So I went back and grabbed some comic books, started reading Batman's, is it Court of the Owls? Night of the Owls?
I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Court of the Owls.
And Night of the Owls. It's kind of a couple parts of one overall story.
Yeah, I haven't read comics so long. I just occasionally hear a title.
And I started reading those, and I've actually wrapped that up. So I'm going to start... This is no way gaming related. I'm actually just trying to kill some time because we don't have enough time to go into Nathan talking about his stuff. But since it relates to Last of Us, we could do that after the interview and talk a little bit more about it because we only got about 4 minutes left.
I will say I did beat Sniper Elite 3 this week.
Yeah, you beat that. Yes. I have not.
And I'll beat tomorrow. I'll beat V2 as well.
Nice. And last week we talked about you being in a beta and we couldn't give out the name.
Alpha.
But it turns out Alpha.
Yes.
And it turns out we couldn't give out the name, but we can.
We can. I could have last week. I wasn't for sure. So
you were playing Evolve.
I was playing the Evolve Alpha.
Right. Which got pushed back.
Yes.
To
February.
2015, yeah.
Yeah.
The date that every game in the world is apparently releasing is 2015.
Unless you're Assassin's Creed.
Right. They'll get that out, man. They'll get two versions of that game out.
They'll put it out, and we'll be... Hopefully, it won't be like three.
They're putting out one full game for the 360 PS3 groups and probably PC. And they're putting out another completely full game for the next-gen systems, the One and the PS4.
Yeah, Rogue on the 360 on PS3.
And then Unity for
the... Unity is the one on the current-gen consoles.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know this really isn't related, but they also just came out with an Android game.
Milk that cow. Milk it.
Franchise.
Get every little bit out of it.
Money.
It's on sale for, I think, 10 cents.
Man, I don't know. I loved the details I was reading about Rogue. just because it had some more ship combat, yeah, and it was in the Arctic.
I don't know where the location was. I know the character is a
ice ships.
The
ice
character
pirates?
You're playing as is a assassin turned Templar.
Yeah,
which that's like, huh? I wonder how that works.
I know. I kind of like the concept of that. There are absolutely apparently no ships whatsoever in Unity, but there's that co-op factor that I'm kind of interested in.
Yeah.
And the fact is they can fit 30,000 people on screen at one time, which is amazing. But, that kind of surprised me. But anyway, he was playing Evolve in an alpha state. It got pushed back. I'll be glad to talk about Evolve because I actually did get to play that at E3 and enjoyed it. I only play... You can't really talk too much about...
Yeah, you can say the name, but you can't like talk about what you played.
Is that right?
For Evolve, yes.
Okay.
It's still on NDA. Because they're going to be having another alpha. This is the...
I just really wanted to know what character you played.
I played everything.
I played the robot. My only one time I got to play the robot. Bucket is his name?
Yes, Bucket. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, I didn't play him. I played all the classes that they had available and the monster.
Yeah.
And I was a beast monster.
There's just the four classes, but there's like different monsters you can play as. Is that right?
No, there's eight classes.
Oh, eight classes. Okay.
They had added four more during the E3.
Oh, wow. Mm. Okay. Okay. Well, I played Bucket, which is like the healer of the group.
I think how it is, I believe it's going to be, there's four main classes, but I think there's other guys to that class that have at different moves and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you'll have a healer, but you'll have two different types of healers that can do different things.
Kind of like different spec trees
I
down, like,
so, yes.
A Diablo or Borderlands type scent.
Sort of, but it's a whole different character. Like, you can select either character. And then you,
well, like true healer, support healer, something like that?
I'm not for sure on that one.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's still an alpha.
But
I
played everything.
Yeah, I played Bucket, and I only got to play him that one time, and I only got to play Evolve that one time, and we were able to take down whoever was playing as the monster. So I didn't get a real... Not enough to really give you an idea. I liked that little bit that I played, and it made me want to play more, which is why I was so, like, I want it. Because I applied for the alpha, didn't get in. Applied for the beta that you got in, Dennis, didn't get in. So...
I will say I experienced all aspects. We won as a group, lost as a group, and I won as a monster and lost as a monster. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this segment of In-Game Chat. When we come back, you will hear the pre-recorded interview that we had with Neil Druckmann and Jason Gregory for The Last of Us. They were from Naughty Dog and, of course, talking about The Last of Us Remastered. You will see... us just sitting here in the studio while that interview plays.
Yep.
This is a pre-recorded interview, so keep that in mind coming up. Like I said, the song that you hear at the end of it will play in full is the song that Troy's character Joel sings to Ellie in an epilogue scene that was done for One Night Live, and it was only done for the live audience. He sings this song to Ellie. So that's what closes out the interview. I didn't want you to think of, like, what does this song have to do with anything? Well, there's a connection. So anyway, that's coming up next here on In-Game Chat. We'll be back in just a moment. Here's music from Hotline Miami. We'll be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. With us right now, we are talking with Neil Druckmann and Jason Gregory, both from Naughty Dog, to talk to us about The Last of Us Remastered. It released just a few weeks back, and it's been a year since the original release, or at least over a year since the original release, and we get a remastered version for the PS4. And they're going to talk to us a little bit about that, and we've got some questions. Neil, Jason, thanks guys for doing this. Appreciate it.
Yeah, our pleasure.
I know you guys are really, really busy over there with plenty of stuff going on, so I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I appreciate you guys doing this. We'll get on to some of the questions that we've got. First, why the decision to bring The Last of Us over to the PS4?
I think from my point of view, there were two big reasons. One of them was that bringing a game like this, a completed game, over from one console to another really makes it a lot easier from a technology standpoint for any studio to get a handle on the technology. If you're trying to learn a new console and understand that technology, and you're also trying to build a new game at the same time, it can be sort of a doubly difficult. This way, we had a completed game, and we were able to just tackle the technical issues. The other reason I think it was super important for us to bring this particular game over is that this game was almost too big to fit on the PS3. It was just an incredible sort of massive undertaking. And while I think we pulled it off really nicely on the PS3, really the PS4 version at 1080p and 60 hertz and so on is really the way it was meant to be played.
Yeah, and just to add to that, when we're doing interviews and stuff for The Last of Us, almost every interviewer would ask the questions, would you guys bring this to the PS4? We'd love to see it in the PS4, and fans kept talking about it, so we decided to do a few tests early on to see if it was even doable because the architecture is so different. Mm-hmm. And then, like Jason was saying, seeing the game to its full potential was intriguing to us as developers, but we also knew fans would be thrilled by it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, on that note, I mean, congratulations on the release of not, I haven't talked to you guys since Last of Us or even before, but congratulations on that, and then congratulations on the release of the remastered version. I got a chance to play. I did not play the DLC from the PS3 version. I played Left Behind just earlier this week, and I must have spent 5 minutes rotating that camera around just to see how smooth that was. Just to see the movement of everything was just so fluid and just so nice to see. So it really drives me back to want to go back and play the main campaign. I don't know that I'll play it all the way through because, I don't know, that has a special place that I just don't ever want to overwrite with another experience going back in. It holds its spot, and I kind of want it to just stay there as is. Going through. So, but it is, it's really, really beautiful. One of the questions on bringing it to the PS4, one of the questions we had from Dan Hu, which is a community member over at Colony of Gamers, he asked, what was the trickiest technical hurdle when going from PS3 to PS4?
I guess I can talk to that. There were at least a couple of different sort of large hurdles that we had to tackle. Whenever you move from one console to another, right, one piece of hardware to another, you can kind of divide your software up into sort of two categories. There's code that is specific to that hardware, and then there's code that's pretty much vanilla C++ and would work anywhere. So a lot of our code actually did port over pretty easily, but there were two big areas, I think, that provided a bunch of challenge. The first is the GPU. Every GPU is different, and as the GPUs get more and more advanced, they get more and more complex. They're already incredibly complex pieces of hardware. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got... these things, I mean, the PS4 GPU can do over 1,000 things at once. My wife says I can only do one thing at once. It's pretty crazy. And so trying to understand the complexity of a massive piece of hardware like that and learning how to really make it sing and really get it to do what you want it to do as efficiently as possible was a big challenge, but also kind of a fun challenge to tackle. The other one was, on the PlayStation 3 architecture, we have one main processor and six coprocessors called SPUs. They're very powerful processors, yeah. But they have a very specific way that you have to talk to them. They have their own private memory areas and so on. And so bringing that over and having it run on six powerful main CPUs, which is the architecture of the PS4, was also a big challenge, just figuring how to how to get everything to run in parallel and so on. So those were sort of the two big areas.
Now, was it difficult to pull this off in, I mean, you guys, I say it's 12 months. It's been a year. It's been a little over a year since Last of Us released, but you guys probably had this done. I mean, when did you start working on the remaster for PS4? When did that start?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of a complex problem because we actually, right after The Last of Us for PS3 shipped, we had already begun some development for our next game, whatever that would be, on PlayStation 4. So we'd already started to do that, but we didn't have dev kits at the time. So we were prototyping things on a PC that was sort of similar in architecture to what we knew the PS4 would be. So that was already at least over a year before we shipped The Last of Us on PS4. I'd say we started in earnest on the Last of Us PS4 a number of months after we shipped T1 on PS3. And, you know, getting it on the dev kit and so on, I mean, it was probably 6 to 8 months or something like that, where we were actually working on real hardware and really pushing to get it done there.
Yeah, Jason was working on it for a few months on by himself. And then once we finished Left Behind, a few more programmers got on. And then towards the end, it was almost the entire programming staff.
Yeah, that's right.
Was on call to try to wrap it up.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, the time frame on it took what? Did it take about the same time period, a year to complete?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to count it, but because, like I say, it was sort of in calendar time. It was, you know, a year, but it was one person for quite some, you know, for maybe the first few months, and then it was a small team, and then it grew to be pretty much all the programmers by the end.
Yeah, that was another one of the questions was about. I know that during the development of Last of Us, it was made clear that Naughty Dog had two teams, and one team was working on Last of Us, and the other team was working on, I guess, Uncharted 3 at the time. Do you guys still have two teams doing different stuff, or is it pretty much everybody working on the same thing, or everybody working on whatever the current objective is for the house?
It ebbs and flows. It kind of shifts. Our boss, Evan Wells, has mentioned this. We kind of have, you know, three projects that were going on at one time. There was the Uncharted 4, there was The Last of Us Remastered, and there's kind of our next big game that's in super early kind of stages right now. Mm-hmm. And no, except for Uncharted 4, no team is ever kind of filled with everybody. So, like, the resources shifts and move around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had the goal of having these two completely independent teams, but we're so particular and selective of how we hire people, we never fulfill that goal. Mm-hmm. So it's more like we have one and a half teams where people shift around from project to project.
Yeah, and I would say also that it wouldn't make sense to have two full teams, actually, because the way we work, as Neil said, there's never two complete full production projects going on at once. There's always one that's sort of in full production and one that's early pre-production or that's doing DLC for a past release or something like that. So it kind of makes sense to have one and a half teams. It feels like a good balance.
And which team worked on the remaster? Was that just a bunch of everybody, basically?
Yeah, I mean, the remastered was interesting because it's a port. I mean, technically, right? We're taking a completed team and moving it. It ended up being programmer heavy, and so we had almost everyone in the entire programming team at one point or another worked on the project. And yet, from, let's say, the art side, there was certainly some effort going into just up-resing textures and that kind of stuff, but it was not nearly as heavy a project for them. And at the end, it was the programmers who were crunching. That's not usually true. Usually we've got particle effects and sound and design and art. Everybody's all on board and crunching all right up to the end.
From the art staff, it was mainly people who had worked on The Last of Us were responsible for their areas or their characters or their effects to bring them over to PS4 and see what they could do to up-res them or optimize them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was there any kind of tricky part in remastering the multiplayer aspect of the game, or is there any kind of difference in remastering that than there is the single-player portion?
I mean, yes and no. Ultimately, a lot of the technology continues to work the same way on PS3 and PS4. PSN fundamentally works the same way, and a lot of our technology works the same way. But there were some libraries, some low-level code that is provided by Sony that had changed between PS3 and PS4. And so we did have to adapt some of our code to, you know, to talk to the new interface, that kind of thing. But so, yeah, it was certainly it wasn't trivial, but, you know, but it's sort of the same ecosystem, which is nice.
Yeah. Another question I had was, what actually had to happen to remaster the game and bring it to 1080p at 60 frames per second? I know in other media, like animation and stuff, they go frame by frame and clean it kind of, you know, they kind of clean it up, but this is kind of a different thing. So how does that whole situation work? You take previous code and then, I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah. It's kind of like what I was talking about before, how, you know, we've got parts of our code that just sort of ported over, and literally within, you know, a week of starting the initial porting effort, we had a good chunk of our code ported over, and it would actually compile and sort of run. But as far at that point, you know, the graphics were just barely showing on screen. You could see stuff, but it didn't look right, and the frame rate was terrible, and so on. You know, and so from there, we spent just lots and lots of time tracking down things that were different between the PS3 and the PS4, things that maybe we had forgotten to bring over or that had been brought over and needed to change. And meanwhile, the rendering guys were hard at work basically redoing our graphics engine from the ground up, because the GPU is so different between the two systems, and you know, the techniques you use and so on are different. So there was the whole gamut everywhere, from software that just came over easily to software that had to be rewritten.
Now, you had mentioned that it was amazing that you were able to put everything you were able to put on the PS3 for what The Last of Us was. How much different was that compared with the PS4? Was there plenty of space left over, I suppose, is kind of what I'm saying? I mean, did you have plenty of room to work with, and then even some left over that you didn't need?
Yeah. Well, I mean, every piece of computing hardware has different aspects, right? So like there's memory, there's processing power, there's the allotment of how many processors you have and what kinds they are and so on. And on the PS4, I mean, in terms of memory, we had gobs of memory. That was one thing we didn't have to worry about at all, because the memory is like 10 times the size of the PS3. In terms of processing, it was a different story, because it's, even though the PS4 is a lot more powerful than the PS3, just learning how to make it work properly and take full advantage of that hardware takes time. It takes time to learn it, to experiment, to figure out what works and what doesn't. And that goes to the GPU and also to how we parallelized all of our tasks so they could run across the 6 cores and so on. So, it's sort of a mixed bag. But.
Well, as far as disk space, we had new compressions for like the cinematics and even textures and stuff, so that even though there's a lot more data, it still left us more room on the disk to include the grounded documentary and the commentary tracks.
Exactly. Yeah, that was one of our limiting factors, is how do you get it, you know, both the main game and Left Behind DLC and the extra commentary movies and everything, all to fit on the Blu-ray. But we did a bunch of compression work to make it all fit.
And as far as how much, you know, stuff there's left, you know, to go going forward is, you know, if the game was not bound by 60 frames. Actually, most of the time, it runs at 80 frames per second, I believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's still systems that the guys could have optimized more. We haven't hit any memory bottlenecks yet, even though I'm sure we will on Uncharted. So there's still a lot more power in this guy.
Yeah, and even, I mean, if you think about it, you know, Uncharted 2, remember way back, we actually claimed that we had maxed out the SPUs at that time, which was true. But then we did Uncharted 3 and we did The Last of Us, and each iteration we figure out new ways to optimize our code and to squeeze even more into the hardware. And with the PS4, it's just, there's a bright future, because there's just a lot of power that we still have to learn how to take advantage of, and ways to optimize our code to make even more fit on the console. So it's going to be
great. Yeah, and I mean, you go from Uncharted 2 to The Last of Us in between those years, obviously technology advances for you guys to, you know, take advantage of new stuff. So not surprising there, but really surprising on the on going from PS3 to PS4 and then just having so much room left over with everything compared to what you were able to put on that disc in comparison with what the PS3 had. Now, releasing it, you guys released it very close to almost, you know, a little over a year after the PS3 version. Is that just a coincidence, or was that something that, you know, you were really trying to do, is put it out in a year's time, or put it out just when it's done, or what was the plan for that?
Yeah, that's something we had talked about when, after did some tests and looked like we could pull this thing off, we thought it would be nice to do it on the 1-year anniversary. we almost made it. We're a few weeks off, but it was still in the ballpark.
Yeah, I was expecting, that was one of my little E3 predictions, was that they'll announce on stage that, you know, it'll be available tomorrow or this Friday, just like it was available on a Friday back at the last E3, in fact. I didn't get to play it because I was still out at E3 whenever it actually released on Friday. So I was a little bit behind for our discussion talk on that, but I was able to keep up. We've got a guy on the show actually now, Nathan, who was able to play a little bit of it on his PS3 and then was unable to finish it for whatever reason. I think he sold the system or something, but he's playing it now. And I know we're pre-recording this, so probably by the time that this interview airs, hopefully he will have finished it and we'll be able to talk again about it. That's one of the fun things about this game, is to be able to talk about it with someone who has played it through, and especially with someone who's played it through for their very first time, and to kind of go back and experience, I guess, through them, the whole story again. So, a lot of fun for that. I think it's one of the first remasters. It's probably one of the first remasters I've ever played. I can't think of any others. I know there's probably some out there that, or I say remasters, but you know, where they ported it over to the next gen console. That's just it really just blows you away from what you're used to, with just the fluidity of the movement. And just how great things look. Is there any? Do you guys ever see yourselves going back and doing any remasters of the Uncharted series?
We've had discussions, but right now, you know, as a studio, we're really focusing on the next Uncharted. You know, we kind of, with that trailer we put out at E3, we made a promise, and we have to live up mm-hmm. to that promise.
Yeah. Were you always going to just remaster what was already done, or was there talk of going back and adding in a scene or two or updating some voice work or anything like that?
No, never. It was always with the idea of trying to put out what was the original vision and leveraging the new hardware to make it run better, to make, you know, because of the high frame rate, the gameplay becomes more responsive. Likewise, you're getting the true art assets. They weren't... you know, down-res like, or removed like we had on the PS3. But we didn't want to mess with anything. We didn't want to mess with the AI or change anything about the story or tweak, despite, you know, maybe wanting to. But it's like, you know, the game was successful. That was what we shipped, and let's stick to that vision and not mess with it.
Yeah, I wanted to be sort of true to the original gameplay experience, giving you a, you know, higher quality experience maybe, but still the same experience in terms of the gameplay.
Yeah, well, I think you added in another difficulty level, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the grounded difficulty.
Yeah, we did that on that was actually one of the DLCs for PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Now we included it on the disc on PS1. Exactly.
3D, was that ever talked about?
No. We did that for Uncharted 3, and you know, it was a good experiment for us. It helped us do split screen for that game. But you know, it was not successful, so we decided our resources were better spent elsewhere.
Is that also the decision for Uncharted 4, is to just, you know, focus on that and not the 3D?
Right now, there's no plan.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. I enjoyed the 3D, but it's not something I can handle for a long period of time. I can do it for about 2 hours, but I play a game a lot longer than just 2 hours, so then it starts to hurt the eyes a little bit. But going into some questions that we had from the community here, Vermilion had a few and just wanted to know, if you could pick one game to remaster for this generation, what would it be?
Definitely Minecraft. No, just kidding. That might be interesting.
That's a good answer. I like that. The Last of Us and Uncharted are both games that lend themselves very well to being translated into a movie or a TV show. What TV show or movie would you like to turn into a game?
Escape from New York. Open world.
Yeah.
And what about you, Jason? Anything?
I don't know. I wouldn't mind doing something in the Blade Runner kind of universe, but... might be fun.
He also wants to know, what's the hardest part of your jobs that the audience might not be aware of?
That
they won't be aware of.
Well, yeah. They might not be aware that programmers You know, it's not all just writing cool new code. A lot of it is just debugging stuff, and, you know, a lot of it's just sort of nose to the grindstone. So it's not all glamour.
On a long project, keeping the faith, you start at some point, you start losing the forest and the trees, yeah. And you have to kind of remember that original inspiration and stick to that and not second guess yourself. That can get pretty hard.
What was your mm-hmm. original inspiration that you stuck to with Last of Us?
This idea that we're going to make an intimate experience about a story of two people and the bond and that relationship. And at some point you start questioning whether that's working and you get tempted to add more spectacle and more combat. And we really fought against that instinct.
I did a really, really great job and knocked it out of the park. It is one of my highest ranked games that I've ever enjoyed, and it's one of those that I try to show to people who like to give the community a bad name or like to just kind of brush us off as childish, I suppose. I sometimes work with a lot of adults who don't really see the seriousness behind the hobby or the lifestyle that we enjoy, and so I enjoy moments like this when I can say, look, this is what I play, and this is what these people make for me to play. And it's, you know, and there's nothing that feels childish whatsoever about it. Or at least insincere, I suppose, would be a good way to put it. So,
Yeah,
thank you guys. STM Fuller says, what other genre movie types would you be interested in tackling now that you've kind of done with the adventure stuff with Uncharted and sort of the apocalyptic scenario with Last of Us?
I guess we never think of it that way as like tackling a specific genre. It's more what kind of character experience or character story do we want to tackle? And usually that blends a bunch of different genres together. You know, obviously there's some overlap between Uncharted and The Last of Us, but and that overlap is that, you know, they're character-driven stories, character-driven experience, and that's what kind of sets us apart. So, yeah, I don't know what the future holds right now. Like, there's all kinds of genres that we are intrigued by and inspired by, and it's kind of, how do we combine those to tell an interesting story?
I remember an interview, I think it was for Uncharted 3, where there was talk of, like, what came first, the story or the set pieces. And I remember somebody saying that there was set pieces came first, and then we built the game around that. And I'm sure with Last of Us, the story came first, and we built everything around that. What will it be coming for Uncharted 4? Set pieces being built, or is it story first?
It's kind of a combination. It's and even with The Last of Us, it was more of a concept, and then, you know, we started early on. Bruce Straley and I started talking about moments in the game and what would it feel like. Again, the concept was, can we create an experience that through combat, through exploration, through story, through music, through every aspect of it is about this relationship, this bond between these two characters. And then, you know, we would go off and talk about game design for a long time. Then we'd come back and talk about story for a long time. And that kind of has to happen for that marriage to happen between those two worlds. And that has been our approach in Uncharted 4, is where we're constantly jumping between story and gameplay. And one, you know, has to give up some ground to the other. And at the same time, they make each other stronger when they work closely together like that.
Well, one other question, and I think it's unrelated to Last of Us, unless it has to deal with that. But during One Night Live, which was awesome, by the way, I wish I could have seen it live in the audience, but I did watch it live online. Jeff mentioned that, Neil, you were working on a comic book. Any details there?
Oh, I don't remember what he said. I have a comic book getting published through Dark Horse. It's a comic book I had published in the past through a...
Oh, was that publisher. Yes. Okay. That's the one you sent me, oh gosh, years and years. I think it was during... we had you on for Uncharted 2 interview, and I think you sent me that comic book, yeah.
Yeah, so after we did American Dreams with Dark Horse, I talked to them about that comic, and I told them the contract was up, and they wanted to republish it. So it's like hardcover. It's got a new artwork on the outside. It's
what is really nice. Do you have a date on when that'll be published, or when we can look for that?
Sometime in September. I'm not sure exactly the exact.
All right, and any idea on when we're going to see or get any more information on Uncharted 4, or see more stuff for Uncharted 4?
Soon.
All right.
Whatever.
Exactly. But that's completely fine. We know we're getting it in 2015, and that's good enough. So, guys, I want to thank you for taking the time to do this with us and be on the show with us. We really appreciate it, and we know you guys are busy making some more great stuff. So thank you again for doing this. And personally for me, thanks for all the stuff you guys have sent over the years. I've got the autographed copy. It's still sitting up on the shelf with all my other Naughty Dog autographed stuff. So it is not going on eBay. It is going nowhere, but it's staying with me. So don't ever think that I would do that to your stuff. I still
have the
do
Super
you?
Mario Brothers shoes. You got me.
Oh, awesome.
And I only wear them
on really?
Special occasions.
Well, thank you. I it's not that I forgot about those. I remember watching One Night Live, and I was like, oh, I wonder if he's wearing the shoes. But I didn't really, you know. Yeah, that's right. I forget about that. But that's awesome. Well, thank you for that. And again, thank you guys for your time. We really appreciate it. We'll be back with more in-game chat in just a moment.
If I ever were to lose you, surely lose myself. Everything I have found, dear, I'm not found by myself. Try, and sometimes you'll succeed to make this man of me. All my stolen, missing parts, I've no need for any. I believe, and I believe, 'cause I can see our future days, days of you and me. Back when I was feeling broken, I focused on a prayer. You came deep as in the ocean. It's something out there, here. All the complexities and games, no one wins, but somehow they're still play. All the missing crooked hearts, they may die, but in us they live on. I believe, and I believe, 'cause I can see our future days, days of you and me. When hurricanes and cyclones, when wind turned dirt to dust, when floods they came, or tides they raised, ever closer became us. All the promises at sundown, I meant them like the rest. All the demons used to come around, I'm grateful now they've left. So persistent in my ways, hey angel, I am here to stay. No resistance, no alarms, please, this is just too good to be gone. I believe, and I believe, 'cause I can see how I feel today. Days of you and me. You and me. Days you.
Episode. I just want to play that for the rest of the show. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. That is music from Max Payne.
Breaking.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. Let's do a chat room roll call. Since somebody threw a Boston joke in there, that's all we've had in the chat room for right now, is people talking like Bostoners. Bostonites? I don't know what they are. Boston folk. AC Wraith, Arioka, Cavalier, Lavos, Jimmy the Saint, John 72, both new people. Welcome to the show. Callie Synth, STM Fuller, and Zufu hanging out in the chat room. So welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
It's Bostonians.
Bostonians.
Get it straight.
Thank you. I didn't know. I'm not from Boston.
Boston.
Boston. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We got about 20 minutes left. So, anyway, the interview with Last of Us that you just heard, or about Last of Us Remastered, and Nathan, you finished it. So,
yes, sir.
Give us some thoughts, man. How was it?
Where do I start? Where do I start, man?
Really?
60 FPS. That was.
Oh, we can start there because I just recently experienced that. You know, I said it in the interview, and I'll say it here, was that I did the Left Behind DLC. And so as soon as I got in there, I started moving the camera around and stuff, mm-hmm. and just how fluid and smooth everything looked. Oh, God, it was really good. Really, really good.
Yeah, and don't worry, guys, I won't do any spoilers. I understand some people in chat haven't played it, so I won't, you know, I'll just describe my experience and then mm-hmm. let you feel it as well. What I did do is a couple different things. I played the normal campaign on normal mode, and on having that on 60 FPS, and then what I plan on doing is playing DLC. I have that at 30 FPS, and then I have it on the grounded mode, just so I, you know, just to experiment, just to see a different way. I prefer 60, but it can be played at 30. I mean, it looks just as good at 30. Mm-hmm. Have you tried 30 at all?
No, I didn't. No. I just played it at 60, because I played the entire game at 30,
yeah,
basically. But obviously not at 1080p when I played it the first time. So
I would almost play it again. It was
you know, and I talked to them about that. You know, I have gone back and played some games, maybe not completely through, but I've just mm-hmm. gone back and dipped my toe back into them. But for this one, man, the whole experience like holds this place, and I know that I'm not going to get that same experience back the second time. I'll enjoy it, but it ain't going to be like the first. And so it's not really a sense of, like, why bother? It's more of a sense that, you know, it's going to stay in my head as the way that I left it, and not to go back and maybe water down the experience, or maybe oversensitize myself to the, or desensitize sensitize myself to the experience. It's one of those. As far as the story's concerned, man, it's just one of those perfections mm-hmm. that gets to me. And
I will say the ending. Wow,
I know.
I don't want to give any spoilers. So I mean, it's just
the best equivalent I can give you is I watched One Night Live again. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't watch it again. Well, yeah, I did watch it twice.
I need to find. So that's what I wanted to ask you. One Night Live, because I wanted to watch that tonight.
It's out there on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just go to YouTube, type in Last of Us One Night Live, and you'll find the official page for where it was.
Because I saw when you posted it that it was happening, but I hadn't even played the game. So
No. You would stay away from that. Yeah. You wouldn't do that. So
Definitely want to check that out.
But yeah, I did watch the One Night Live, and that would be the closest I could say to having experienced it a second time. Man, and I would say even more so to see the live to see the actors putting in their emotion along with those voices. Well, it was just really
cool. I was telling you earlier, I had watched the making of it, and they were going through all of that of how them experiencing, and you know, some of them, it was the first time they ever did the mocap, you know, wearing the suit, you know, and having an experience of all the people, all the different cameras and stuff, and that was really interesting.
It's fascinating. I've said this before, and I don't know if you were listening at the time or if you've been here, but the studio that they were doing the mocap stuff, I've been to that studio. I watched them do some Uncharted 3 production with Nolan Noth and Nolan Noth and also Claudia Black and Cutter. Why is his name escaping me? He's in the Hobbit films now.
And you're only a little bit of a Uncharted fan, so the fact that you'll know this is kind of embarrassing.
It is. It is. And I can't remember. He played Cutter, and now he plays. Now he's one of the. He's in the Hobbit film, and I can't remember what his name is. So,
Graham McTavish.
Yes, McTavish. Okay. That's the name I was trying to figure out. Graham McTavish.
I'm talking to you, and I looked it up.
Yeah. And of course, and also Sully.
Yes.
Which, for whatever reason, his name's escaping me, and it shouldn't, because it's not Richard. Look that up real quick, because it's bugging me now. Please. McDougal? Donegal?
One second.
Wow.
It is...
Richard McGonagall?
Yeah, Richard McGonagall.
Yes.
Yes. So there you go.
Anyway, I'm glad we solved this
problem. Yeah, it's fun. So yeah, I actually watched them do some of that mocap stuff, and I don't know how it was with Troy. I wasn't there for when Troy and Ashley and they were doing their stuff, but man, Nolan is funny. God, he's saying all kinds of stuff when he's going through that thing.
Well, I was gonna say this.
All
is
kinds
the guy,
of horrible things.
This is the guy who voices one of. This is the guy who's mainly used for Deadpool, of all people.
Right, that was the comic book I was going to tell you I'm starting now. Since I finished Court of the Owls, I'm going to start my Deadpool run and go into all those comics. But yeah, but funny. We got to get him back on the show, too. So yeah, I've been in there to see them do that, and they go through a number of different takes trying to get those things right. And I think I remember that documentary. They talked about that one scene with Joel at the beginning of the game and how many times they redid that over and over.
I skipped past that part because when they were like going over that, I was like,
I know.
deep emotion there. But I will say my favorite part of the game is towards the end when you have to go underground. You know what I'm talking about?
Which season?
The very last one.
When you're spring?
Just about heading, just about to the final objective, and you have to go underground. And what's the underpass?
Yes. Now I know.
That was. I think that was one of my favorite parts.
Okay.
Why I don't know, but it was just. Yeah. I guess because of the sense of you're almost there. You know.
I played it with someone who doesn't game very much, and by the end of it, she got privy to start, and she's like, there's barriers on this place. Does that mean you're going to have a fight here? And I was like, yeah, probably. Probably means we're going to have to come back through here and fight our way back since there's a bunch of barriers. And
well, you know, there's two things.
She looks at it from a realistic standpoint. And I play crouched almost all the time. Yeah. She's like, that guy's calves must be killing him through there.
Well, you know, it's two things. I remember listening to you guys talk about it way back, you know, a year ago.
Yeah.
And I remember there's two things I remember you guys saying, it actually helped me somewhat. Whenever you see the extra bottles or bricks, and always use a shiv to open a door, because you always get the stuff to make another one.
Yeah, they're your
Those two things actually really helped.
That was the that was
space power cores.
Yeah, that was the other thing, was that I remember, compared to Left Behind, I was running short on supplies, man. But Last of Us, there were points where I was like, I can't pick up anything else. I've made the amount of everything I can make, and I've still got supplies left over. I can't even collect stuff sitting on the ground.
I can tell you a little bit I've played on Grounded.
Oh, no. Yeah, I understand that.
When I was messing around with that, I was opening. It was like cabinet empty, cabinet drawer empty. And then it was like 10 minutes in, one piece of cloth. That was all I had found. I was like, oh boy, this is going to
I completely understand that. But the Left Behind part, man, if I played that on Grounded, good God. There was like very little supplies.
Yeah.
And what I had was running out very quick.
I found a piece of cloth.
Yeah. So I enjoyed the Left Behind thing. I don't know. It's there, and it's nice that it's there, but it didn't. I don't know. I guess it would have been nice to know where it falls chronologically, because I could play that at that point in the game. Have you started Left Behind? You said you have?
Yes, I have, yeah.
So it has a particular place within mm-hmm. the story mm-hmm. that it takes place. And so it probably would have been nice to actually just stop at that point in the game, jump to Left Behind, okay, yeah. play that, and then come back to the game.
I definitely think it helps. I think it helps me that I know more freshly from playing one, mm-hmm. jumping straight to the other. Like, I know exactly where she's talking about listening.
Well, I do too. I knew exactly where she's talking about, but the impact that it had,
you just wish it was in the main
wasn't
story.
it wasn't as much of a thing for me. I mean, she talks about that experience at the very end of the game,
mm-hmm.
Because I remember that from One Night Live, mm-hmm. because they go over the same dialogue. So there was some of that still sitting there when I went to play the Left Behind DLC, but for whatever reason, it didn't. I can't really compare it to the main game and the main story. It's a mm-hmm. lot longer, and there's a lot more character development, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's more. There's more of an impact, but Left Behind just felt just a little bit less, and it's hard to compare it to that. But
I'll say it's DLC. It's not meant to
it
be
is.
A full game by itself.
It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not. I understand.
So
that.
Kind of judging it by, well, it's compared to full game. Of course, compared to full game, it's not as much.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be a full game. It's meant to be a complimentary DLC to it.
I would have probably liked to have played it within the story of the game, honestly.
Okay.
To have it come out, because I think it would have given me that backstory of her, but as well added to the overall story with her and Joel. Whereas playing it almost a year later for the first time. Afterwards,
mm-hmm.
you know,
I'm trying to remember. Wasn't there a part where they were separated for a while?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, so maybe in that gap in between that.
No, time. I mean, I was going to tell you where it takes place, but we didn't want to get into spoilers for everybody there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, mm-hmm. I'll leave it at that. So anyway, you enjoyed it?
Yes. Oh yeah.
All right.
I want to try online next. I haven't played the multiplayer.
Should do that. I have not started the multiplayer. I am going to buy it. I've got it from Gamefly, and so I'm just going to go ahead and pay the other, ever how much amount it is. I've got a discount with them from being a subscriber or whatever, so I'll use it on that and get it. I am gonna have the game, but really like it. Really, really like it. We've got a few more minutes left, about 8 minutes. Anybody looking forward to playing anything coming up this week? I don't even know what's coming out.
I think I'm going to start BioShock.
Okay, another one you haven't played.
No, I haven't.
Played.
Nope.
BioShock's a good one. I never finished that, but I watched it.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I do have a question for you guys. Did any of you play Metro? Any of the Metro games?
James played the first one, and James and I both played the second one.
Okay. Did you plan on getting Redux at all?
No.
No?
No.
See, I bought the first two on a Steam sale. Both
I would recommend getting the Redux. I would recommend getting those.
Well, I bought the first two for total together. It was like $8.
Yeah.
And because if you have the first two, you get half off on both of the Reduxes. So I was wondering, do you think I should just get them both, the Redux?
I don't know. I mean, you get them on what system?
I was going to get it on PC. I got it on a Steam sale.
So,
I mean, total, I'd be investing like $30.
I'm curious what the PC version of the Redux of it, I'm curious what that is. How is it better than the PC version of the original?
When I was watching the video, it said that the same AI system and stuff from 2033, I mean, from Last Light, is put into 2033. It's upgraded. So they're going to be doing stuff like that.
I'm curious. I'm sure the first game has some good improvements on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious what the second game is improved over a game that came out.
I know they said they're both capable of 4K.
A year or 2 years ago?
I would never pull, but
Yeah, you know what? That sounds like those Last of Us folks. We'll never get to 60 frames per second. 1 year later, there it is.
Well, I'm saying my computer can't do 4K.
Eventually, though.
Well.
And if you've got the games.
True. That's true. True.
So, I don't know. Use your best judgment. I really like the game. So, for
well,
your first time playing them.
You did like them.
Yeah, I really liked. I didn't play the first one.
Okay.
But I did play the second one, and I really enjoyed it. Me and James both really liked it. So, yeah. I would say go for it. But like I said, I'd like to know what the differences are for the PC version of that specific title. I can understand a leap from the first one to this first one on the remake, but the second one to the second one on the remake, I'm not sure. Gotcha. I don't know what the differences would be. So
I might just do the Redux on the first one then, and not do the Redux.
I might actually jump in on that too.
Yeah, because if you already own it, it's $12.
Yeah, and I do already own it, so yeah, I might just jump in for that. So, RJ, anything you're doing this week?
I'm going to keep reading
Console Wars, right?
And finally, by the time we do our next show, I should have played the DLC for Dark Souls 2.
Okay, cool. I don't have anything planned. Obviously, I'm going to do Silver Ball Sunday tomorrow. I'm going to try and stream that on Hitbox just to see how that works and kind of get a little, you know, get our feet wet a little bit for Hitbox. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we're making the move over there, but I'd like to try
our options.
I'd like to give it a shot and see how it compares. If anything, it would get this chat lag away so that we would have, chat on time as far as what's going on when we talk about it. So that would kind of be nice to do. So I'll give that a try tomorrow. As far as games, I'm going to try and go through To the Moon and finish that up. I really enjoyed what little bit I played of it last night, but I was very tired. And so I'm looking forward to getting into that. I'm going to have a bunch of videos uploading next weekend, and a ton. So most of my day tomorrow will be spent on rendering a bunch of videos from gameplay and stuff. So there'll be that. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else that is getting released that I'm looking forward to playing. I don't think there is anything. But what about you, Dennis?
I'll probably try to finish up Wolf Among Us. Also starting on Console Wars. Those are two things I'm going to try to get into. Other than that, just the same staples I always play. Either Binding of Isaac or Darker Purpose or something else.
I've got to finish Sniper Elite 3. And I've also got to jump into the New Order, Wolfenstein. The New Order. James has finished that. He will not be here next week, but probably the week after. And I'd like to be able to talk to him about that whenever it comes out, because that was a game that really surprised him. So I think I'd like to get in on some of that. So anyway, I want to thank everybody who joined us in the chat room. Do not forget, we're going to be streaming some games here in about 30 minutes. Got some speedrunners, got some Forced, got whatever else we can play, four-player co-op or something like that. That's going to be coming up. Stay with our Twitch channel. We're going to be doing that on Twitch. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream or on the radio as well. We really appreciate it. And also, thanks, everybody, who gets our show from iTunes, as well as however you get our show for later use, our YouTube channel. We really appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net, and you can join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at coloniagamers.com. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group where you can join up with us over there and play games with us and other listeners. So thanks, everybody. We really appreciate it. We will see you next Saturday. Here's music from Assassin's Creed 2.